Everybody's the Goots Cast. It's the biggest night of wrestling of the week. NXT UK, Impact Wrestling. Right off the bat, Andrew, I haven't watched. I watched a little bit of Impact Wrestling, the Jordan Grace Matt Cardona match, which stunk a few weeks ago. But I haven't watched Impact in a while, and I thought the color commentary was Disco Inferno, and then I realized it was Aiden English. But yes. I will say that the commentary makes a huge difference. It feels like a real show.
By the way, it's Matthew Raywald. But yeah, Aiden English, it is like a world of difference. It absolutely feels like you're watching a different show from, like, I don't know, 9 months ago. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Did you like Impact overall?
It was okay.
Oh, okay. But better than like...
Better. It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, step in the very
good I will step. Say I got I'm getting a free month of Impact Plus, which is why I'm going to watch the paper. We're going to also it's a big day of wrestling. We're going to do Elimination Chamber.
How are you getting a free month of Impact Plus?
Because they overcharged me for a few months, so they gave me a free
month. Oh, they did.
So I do think something's going to happen on both shows, both Elimination Chamber and this show. So it's a big day. We're going to cover both on Saturday. But this would not make me want to pay money for No Surrender.
No, I still don't want to pay money for No Surrender.
They did nothing to. It was just like a regular. Here's some good wrestling episode.
Yeah, even though I have not like no real interest in No Surrender, I feel like this was still a good like go home show for that. Like they did a good job.
It was a good episode. No, because they should have ended with like what's gonna. They should have ended with. I would have ended with Morrissey and Moose, but
yeah, actually, that's true. But let's actually get into that. So we'll cover that when we go into the whole thing. Did you watch BTI?
No, you know, it's not on Access anymore. And how is it only a half hour now?
No, it's an hour show, but it's only one match. It's if you watched an episode.
When it was on Access TV, I would watch it. But I'm not like they start at 7:30 now. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, if you watched the episode of Impact this week, you don't need to watch BTI the following week because all they do is recap the whole week.
Yeah, right? I was watching it like when we used to do this like more frequently when they started, I would watch it. Mm-hmm. But it's I don't know why it's not on Access TV anymore, so I don't watch
it. Yeah, because it stunk. That's why. Mm-hmm. But. At BTI, they had Big Con, former Connor from Ascension versus Eddie Edwards. Big Con got squashed last week by Josh Alexander. And then Josh Alexander got, like, put on suspension and storyline.
Now he quit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is he officially done?
He's a free agent. He can go anywhere.
You know what I would do?
WWE?
I would have him come in as, like, Cody's backup.
No, I put him in NXT.
That's true, too. Yeah, you could do that. But anyway, Big Con versus Eddie Edwards. This was not a squash. It went back and forth, and Eddie Edwards had to hit Big Con with, like, two Boston knee parties to put him away. So they put him – like, even though he lost, they put him over strong. I wonder if they're going to sign him. He looks good. He doesn't look bad, you know?
Well, I bet you he looks better than Eddie Edwards. That guy fucking
– yeah.
That guy stinks.
They
did the graphic for Eddie Edwards. He had his tongue out. It's just like, I'm never going to buy you as hardcore, bro. Just hit the road.
Yeah.
Hit the road.
Yeah. You could tell he's getting flabby because he's just constantly wearing a t-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
And Big Con, the only thing I would say is, like, they got to change his name. Like calling him Big Con, just like a playoff of his old WWE name, is like when No Way Jose was just No Way. It's like, dude, just get a new gimmick. Reinvent yourself. Don't do this, like, cheap version. Yeah. But anyway, that was
BTI. They should bring back Victor and call them the Descension.
Yeah, they should do that. And then just have like a funnier gimmick. So the show begins with Moose's contract signing with W. Morrissey. But because he beat the crap out of W. Morrissey, he's not there. And he's just like, I'm going to sign this contract. And he talks about W. Morrissey with Scott D'Amore. And Scott D'Amore, being true to himself, talks way too much, says way too more than he should. Moose signs, goes back to the stage. All of a sudden, W. Morrissey's music hits. He comes out, attacks Moose, puts him, chokeslams him through one of those tables, then signs the contract. setting up their match for No Surrender. This was a bad way to start the show. You're right. This should have at least been at the end of the show.
Yeah, I don't need to see Scott D'Amore. They got to – can't they, like, hire, like, Mark Jindrak, like, some older wrestler to be the commissioner and not put this guy on TV? I know that's just a random thing, Mark. I'm trying to think of somebody, like – can't they hire, like, Al Snow to just come in and be the commissioner or fucking – can't D'Lo be the commissioner?
You know who should be the commissioner? Josh Matthews.
Yeah. Oh, or D'Lo Brown. He'd be a good commissioner.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to pick someone small so he makes bigger guys look bigger.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and Josh Matthews.
I'm trying to think who else. Yeah. How about Scotty Tuhati? Can he be the commissioner? Come on, man.
Well, it could be anybody. I'm just trying to think of somebody who they already have on staff.
Arn Anderson, if he doesn't stay with AEW.
It should just be anyone that's but not Scott D'Amore.
You know what? I would recommend Al D to be the commissioner over Scott D'Amore. No offense to Al D. I love that.
Yeah. No. Al D actually would be better. Scott D'Amore, like, it's not even his look. It's just like he's constantly, you can tell, like, he's trying to, like, put himself over, like, yeah. I'm going to be this character. And he always undermines, like, the actual wrestlers. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like why are you speaking so much? Like,
he stinks.
He stinks. It's like, dude, your career as a wrestler is over. Like, you're, like, stop putting yourself over. Just, like, goddamn. You know, like.
He stinks. Anyway. Oh, you know what? I had this thought. I want to share this thought with you. Let's see what you think. So, yeah. You know, like. Paramount had announced all this new stuff for Paramount Plus, and then their stock went down, right? But Paramount, they just want content. What if Paramount bought or made a deal with Impact, and they brought Impact back to the Paramount Network, and they put all of Impact Plus on Paramount Plus?
Because they had
a deal with them originally, and it's like, okay, we can get thousands of hours of wrestling and just dump it. And then they could do, like, their live events on Paramount Plus. Because Paramount just wants content. They already used to work with these guys. And, you know, like, I know at first I'd be like, no way. But fucking Peacock, like, everyone now has Peacock because of WWE. Maybe they're like, you know, it's.
Or maybe Paramount will buy Control Your Narrative Wrestling, huh? What about
Well, that? The reason I say Impact or even Ring of Honor is because of the back catalog. So you have a bunch of hours to dump on the app. So you can be like, what are all these hours?
Absolutely. I think if I was Paramount and I was looking for, no offense, cheap content, but a lot of content, wrestling is the way to go. And you want to pick someone who has a large catalog, Impact would be perfect.
And they already worked with them in the past, and they were willing to put in, they paid for Hogan and shit.
Hey, no offense, but the production was way better than Ring of Honor's.
Yeah, you know? Why not bring them back under the fold and do all the specials on Paramount Plus? Dude, they're making, like, movies for, like, Rat King and Shredder and in the Ninja Turtle universe for Paramount Plus. Because they're just putting out shit to get people to subscribe. So I'm like, why not just be like, you know, we already work with these guys. Let's just bring them back and put the show on the Paramount Network. Like,
right now, like, the most important thing is content. Like, yeah. And it's not even quality, it's just quantity.
You can say we have every episode of Impact Wrestling, and you can see stars like Kurt Angle and AJ Styles and CM Punk and like fucking Hogan and you know, like, I don't know. I can see it happening. I'm going to predict. I'm going to make that prediction like you did. Paramount Plus is going to have Impact Wrestling on its lineup by the end of the year.
I think that's a good. I think that's not a bad prediction. I would be okay if they did that. I might actually, if they did that, and they're gonna really make this Splinter movie, I think I might have to get Paramount Plus.
What would you say? And then they start making movies on Impact based on Impact, like a Rosemary movie and a Black Taurus movie, Decay horror movie.
You know what they need to do? They need to do, like, Peacock and take, like, a beloved, like, sitcom and, like, turn it into, like, a drama, like they're doing with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah, but so they got to take, like, it's, like, Cheers and make it, like, about alcoholism?
Or like Everyone Loves Raymond and turn it into like a horror
theme. Yeah. Dude, I'm never watching. I'm never watching that.
Terrible. Bel Air looks terrible.
Why would I ever want to watch that? Why?
Oh my God, it looks so bad. I want to know who thought this was a good idea.
Will Smith is producing it. He thought it was a good idea.
I bet you this is how he always envisioned Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Like, this is his Violent by Design. And
dude, like, I don't even understand who. That's like, you know what? We got to bring back Facts of Life, but deadly serious.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck wants to see that? Like, give me a break. All right, let's keep going.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. All right. So after that horrible contract signing thing, we had the Bullet Club in the back, and they're all taking turns talking to Gia, setting up basically. I mean, I actually didn't know that. They're just talking. This is so pointless.
Jay White last night looked like a superstar. Tonight looks like a fucking loser. Dude. The Bullet Club, they need to – I think – I want to say this. New Japan needs to end the Bullet Club. They just need to end it.
There's two stables that need to be ended, and they're both for feature tonight. Yeah. Like, they need to end. It's just like – it's just dragging everything down.
Go away.
First match of the night, Masha Slamovich versus Kia Dream. Fucking love Tom Phillips on commentary. He goes, I'm just going to take the low road. It's gonna be a nightmare for Kia Dream. Dude, so fucking funny. He's a good commentator. Masha, like, right away hits like the burning hammer. She fucking squashes this girl with her Northern Lights bomb variant called the Russian Death Device. Fucking squash mash. She looked good. This is my like first time. I've seen her before. But
I definitely think you can build her up to challenge Mickey or Jordan Grace down the road, or even Deonna. I think you got like your new Awesome Kong, if that's the route they want to go.
Yeah, she's been. I think this Slamovich is like a good addition to their roster. She has a good look. Build her up like a fighter. Match number two, the triple threat match, where the winner gets to join a fatal four way at No Surrender, not for the X Division title, but to become number one contender for the X Division. It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah. You have to have a number one contender match against a number one contender.
Basically, yes. It's so dumb, but this match is really good. It's Ace Austin versus Blake Christian and Laredo Kid. Just, you know, your typical X Division, like spot, three-way, but all very smooth, no botches. Finish comes when Ace Austin hits the springboard fold on Blake Christian for him to win and now go to No Surrender. I give this 100 stars. Fantastic.
Really?
I liked it, yeah. You didn't like it?
It was okay. You know, it was fine.
Yeah. Blake Christian, formerly Trey Baxter of NXT. Once Cora Jay dumped him, he fucking came over.
Are they broken up?
Like in storyline, yeah.
No, I mean like in real life. In the real life,
they were ever dating.
No, they were dating in real life.
Oh, they were.
They lived together at least a year ago.
Oh, wow, this is news. I see. I thought they were. There's like a storyline thing.
No.
Oh wow, holy shit! I didn't know that. They should 100% sign Blake Christian. Like he would be a good. He's like a good fit for us.
Yeah, I think he signed already. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it looked good. Yeah, this was a fun match. I liked it. It's your typical X Division match. This felt like an X Division match. I was like, this is like old school Impact. We get a Decay video vignette basically in the back. It is all three members of Decay, and they're just basically talking about Jonah because Big Jonah just fucked Crazy Steve up. So they were like, oh, yeah.
I thought he fucked Crazy Steve. Like, come here. Taste my Big Jonah.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not over, Jonah, because we're not done with you. You're going to fight Black Taurus at No Surrender. That was actually a decent setup. It made sense. And I think Jonah versus Black Taurus would be a good match. You know?
Yeah, I do think Decay also needs to end.
You know what? But I don't mind what they're doing, which is like they're basically putting over.
They put everyone over. Yeah, they lose everyone.
Yeah, I get it. It's like an established stable that is used to put somebody to the next level, which I'm okay with. If that's your purpose, that's fine. But here's the thing with Violent by Design, why they can't do that. you could only do that if you were already at a certain level. Like Decay had a certain amount of success. That's why they can put people over in it. Mm-hmm. You know, Violent by Design had no success. So anyway,
they're failures by design.
What?
They're failures by design.
Yeah, but very true. Yes, failure by design. That's good. I like that. We get the inspiration during the back with Caleb. So when I, this is my first time watching Impact, like a full episode of Impact this year so far. So I'm like, usually when I watch, I just fast forward through all the bullshit. So I don't really know what's going on with this, but
the inspiration, I think Caleb's leaving. I think Caleb wants to go with the inspiration. Is that it? What's going on?
Yes. Yes. Caleb wants to go to inspiration, but he's trying to be loyal. And they're like that. He's like, ladies, you know, I'm a loyal man. And they're like, yes, that's what we like about you. And I will say this, Caleb is very, very good in his role.
Mm-hmm.
Like this character he's supposed to portray, he does a good job portraying this character. Like it's very believable, like the way he does it. So good job for Caleb, you know?
Yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah. Match number three, Lady Frost versus Giselle Shaw. I believe this is Giselle Shaw's first or second match in Impact now. I think this is her first match, actually, on this show, actually, proper. And good back and forth. And Giselle ultimately hits a corkscrew Vader bomb on Lady Frost for the win, for the clean victory. I didn't like this for a couple of reasons. Number one, Lady Frost just got it. Like, she's just gotten to Impact herself. And I see more upside with Lady Frost. Like, people like her. She's got a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you having her lose already like this? I don't
also,
get
I don't understand how she's the quintessential diva. What does she do that's so fucking great? Like, Scarlett, when Scarlett said, I'm the diva era, back, she really was, like, doing, like, stuff that Sable did.
She wasn't even wrestling.
Tori Wilson did. Yeah, and it's like
she was just doing the smokescreen thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this woman gets in the ring and she's wrestling like how is she a diva? I don't.
Yeah, she says like she comes out and says I'm this gimmick, but then she just wrestles like everybody else. There's no difference. Lady Frost. Yeah, I get it. Her gimmick's kind of like one the very very one dimensional.
I'm a Mortal Kombat character ripoff.
Yeah, but like she names like it's still a gimmick. Like she's like it's kind of one-dimensional, but doesn't matter. She's still like, oh, I'm like fucking, I like cold shit, and I name my moves after cold shit. It's fine. It's at least, I don't know. I just like, yeah, I just was like, why couldn't, like, you get another Kia Dream to fight Giselle Shaw and just have
maybe they couldn't afford, so they're like, you have to lose, like,
yeah. Couldn't afford two jobs.
Times are tight.
Yeah.
Royal Rumble money has already run out. We need you.
I personally see more upside with Lady Frost than Giselle Shaw.
I agree with you.
Yeah. But we'll see. We shall see. Honor No More. This is the Ring of Honor stable that's there. They're talking, and Kenny King talks about his match coming up. And Deonna Purrazzo, after that, is getting interviewed, and she's issuing an open challenge for No Surrender. Let's talk about Honor No More so first.
This so I have I kind of feel like this is what they should have done with WCW back in 20 years ago. And what I mean by that is, even though these guys are all I like the idea of this, is that Ring of Honor is gone. We're not going to follow that fucking code anymore. We're just going to take over Impact Wrestling. But we're all still going to be like our characters. The one thing is, like, the characters don't mesh if you don't know, if you don't watch the show. Like it's like this guy who's acting like Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other guy who acts like he's Necro Butcher. And then these other two guys, like, we're pretty boys. Then Kenny King. It's like, I kind of feel like that's how WCW should have been. Like, I don't know what you could have called them. World No More. I don't know what you could have called WCW.
Yeah. WCW No More? I have no idea. Thunder No More? I have no idea.
Thunder No More. Rain.
Yeah.
The Lightning.
So I do like this as well. It's like the stable makes sense. They're like, look, we followed Ring of Honor, and what did it get us? It got us, we're all unemployed now, and that's why they're bitter and shit. Mm-hmm. And I do like that they're all kept their own gimmicks. and stuff like that. So I agree. I do like this. The only thing I kind of don't like about this group is how they position Matt Taven like front and center. And I'm like, man, he really shouldn't be.
Well, I heard that PLC signed with Impact. He's already there. So he's PLC.
PCO?
PCO, whatever. POS.
Yeah, PCOs, I think, is like already their talent, but like
you know what the thing about it is? So I watched this week's Ring of Honor TV show. It was just Daniel Bryan matches, but there were no announcers. Andrew Gabono or Quinn McKay wasn't there. It was just some weird voiceover guy, and then two matches in full with Daniel Bryan. They are giving no hints of what they're going to do when they come back, and so it's kind of interesting to see this play out. Because Quinn McKay left, Danhausen left, PCO is going to leave, even though he's on Honor No More. Where, what are the Control Your Narrative now has their own company. Where are the pieces going? What is, I don't know where they're going to go. Their base, I don't know where they're going to go. So,
well, Control Your Narrative, that would only be EC3.
I know, but EC3 was in last year, right?
You know what? So, here's the thing, this is what I think they're going to do. Ring of Honor, because the last few weeks of their show on Fight TV has all just been like the recap stuff, right? Like
now stuff. it's the Hall of Fame, but there's no host. Yeah. It's like some voiceover guy. They clearly like got like central casting, like Daniel Bryan, the American Dragon. You know,
this is the rumor that I heard is that they're gonna go back to the just having like the best indie talent, like Ring of Honor used to be, and like not really have a contract, because that's what they used to be.
It'll be interesting to see. But that's why the Honor No More storyline is kind of interesting to me, because like the company is still kind of going, but like you don't know where it's going to go. So it's kind of interesting.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I didn't really watch the show. So like I don't have a connection to these guys. They're just like five weird guys that are together now.
Yeah. What's really weird about this stable is that a lot of these guys were feuding with each other in Ring of Honor. And now all of a sudden they're back with no
experience. Well, they're together because they have no company. So
yeah. That's kind of like how to explain it. So I'm okay with it, you know? So Deonna Purrazzo's issuing open challenge at No Surrender. Who do you think it's gonna be?
Probably some indie chick.
Oh, you think so? It's not gonna be like Taya or anything like that.
Who?
Taya Valkyrie?
I don't think so. I think it's going to it might be like at Rebellion. I think they're going to have her do a couple more open challenges before someone good shows up.
Oh, so you think it's just going to be like an indie person, right? Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be like some indie. Like, we've heard great things about her. Then she's going to lose. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be like
she's tearing it up. She's tearing it up in Southeast North Dakota wrestling. Huh?
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. All right. We got match number 4, Kenny King versus Chris Sabin. It's an okay match. It's not bad. Chris Sabin hits the crucifix cover for the victory. After he wins, Maria Kanellis gets on the microphone. She talks about how great job you won in a singles competition. But the thing is this, we work better as a unit. And the way I see it, there's 5 of us. There's 24 of you guys. You guys aren't together. You guys are losing. No surrender. I was like, please let Maria speak for this group all the time. Stop having Matt Taven be like the forefront of this group, because he's always just trying to get himself over instead of the group. He's always going like,
I don't know why Maria doesn't talk more in WWE. Like Maria should have been handed the mic all the time.
She can talk. Yeah, she can talk well. She gets her point across real fast. Matt Taven's always just trying to get his catchphrases over, and like, dude, nobody cares. You have the worst catchphrases. He calls people Melvins. He thinks that's funny. It's like his slap nuts. He calls people Melvins.
Hey, where is the human trash bag? What's his name?
The human trash bag. Who is that? Oh, Shane Thorne?
Yeah, where'd he go? He can't fit through doors no more. I can't fit through the forbidden door.
What did you say he called himself?
He was talking like he's the best wrestler in the world.
Like he's like the best wrestler in the world. Yeah,
I always try to steal the show and I do it for the culture. Shut up.
I know where Shane Thorne's gonna be. He's gonna be at that Ring of Honor show in April.
Where else is he gonna be? I remember you saying he looks like a trash
bag. Yeah, he looks like a trash
bag. With legs.
Yeah, he looks terrible.
Shane Thorne is going to go. Oh, he can't fit through the forbidden door. It's truly forbidden.
He's one of his stablemates in Ring of Honor. He's really trying to make a play for AEW. So he's been wrestling on AEW Dark a few times. And he's had good showing. They don't think they've signed him, though. His name's Khan. Looks good. This guy looks great.
Shane Thorne. Like, I see there's catering.
All right. So Team Impact, after that tongue lashing from Maria, they're like, yo, she's right. There's only four of us. So Steve Macklin comes in and he's like, guys, put me in your group. So he's like, they're like, oh, okay. So he's in the group.
You know, they now fucked this up. They had Steve Macklin in the graphic when the show started.
Yeah, yeah. They're stupid. Yeah.
So why? Right. Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I guess they was announced and then they were like, I don't know. Yeah, anyway.
They still do stupid things like that. Absolutely.
By the way, they had weeks to re-edit this show and they just kept at it.
Yeah, their editing and stuff is really bad.
I don't. You know? Yeah, again, this is why Scott D'Amore needs to just jump off.
Maybe Scott, stop putting yourself on TV so much and actually focus on like how the final product looks. Can you watch an episode before you guys post it up?
Like, dude, that's the thing. If I was taping these shows, right? Mm-hmm. I would I would watch it. I would just sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
With notes, dude, and be like an hour all right. And
30-minute show, you know?
Yeah, what are you doing? Besides, he has to get back to fucking Shake Shack. So
like, no, I would watch this. Like, I need that hour and 30 minutes to finish this promo that I'm gonna
tweet more about how Impact is changing the wrestling world. Hold
on. Yeah, it's like, dude, can you just like take like an hour and a half out of your fucking week to watch a finalized product and be like, take it, send it back, go, you need to change this, this, and this, and this. Boom, fix it up. You know, like, why can't you fucking do that? It's fucking lazy. Steve Macklin looks like that comedian who lied about being at 9/11.
He does. Holy fuck. Maybe it is him. Maybe after he got caught lying about 9/11, Steve Rizzini is Rizzini.
Yeah,
him kind of working out. He's like, yeah. You think I'm a fucking liar? I'll become a fucking worker.
Yeah,
I'm gonna bang Deonna Purrazzo.
By the way, some people think that somebody in this match is gonna turn on Team Impact, and they think it's gonna be either somebody who's got ties to the old Ring of Honor, like Chris Sabin or something like that.
I'm gonna say Macklin.
See, they think Macklin's a red herring. Like, they're building it up like he's going to be. But
wasn't Eddie Edwards in Ring of Honor?
Exactly. Some people
think so Eddie Edwards is going to do it. He's going to be like, I'm not fat after all.
Yeah. They were like, no, there's too many good wrestlers in this Honor No More. We need to throw in a schlub. Like, throw in Eddie Edwards.
Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Absolutely. Match number five. Tasha
Let
Steele.
Him go to Ring of Honor too. Let him become the champion.
Yeah, yeah. In April, send him over there in April. Yeah.
He can fucking, yeah.
Can I be in the Hall of Fame?
And his wife too. Year? Send both those fucking scrubs. Yeah.
You know, Davey Richards, his old tag team partner, is wrestling again.
I know. That's why I think it's going to be here.
Yeah, but I don't
know. The American, the Wolves.
I don't know if those two are on speaking terms.
Well, they will be.
Yeah. Tasha Steele's and Savannah Evans versus Chelsea Green and Mickey James. There's this moment in the beginning of the match where Chelsea Green, like Savannah Evans, is like towers over all three ladies. She's humongous. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea Green like grabs Evans by like the wrist and like just like swings her around with her momentum and like gets her like launch. And I was like, that's like a great example of what you would have to do if somebody's way bigger than you. Like, it made sense. And I honestly, after that, this whole match was like decent. It wasn't a bad tag team match. It was good. Things made sense. At the end, Tasha Steele hits her crucifix bomb finish, which is called the blackout, on Mickey James for the victory. So she pins her before their match at No Surrender for the women's championship. This is fine. I thought it was a good setup.
This was good. I'll tell you what I noticed about Mickey. Mickey James sells. Like, so when Mickey James loses, she loses. She, like, mm-hmm. lays there for a minute.
She lays there for a while,
dude, yeah. You know what fucking annoyed me is that that Jordynne Grace and Matt Cardona match. Matt Cardona, not only does he hit her with a chair, but then he hits his finisher on her. And he pins her. And as soon as he pins, she's up there like, what? huh? Yeah. Jordan Grace talking about. It's like, yeah. No, just lay there. Just fucking like a man hit you with a chair and they hit you with a move that like has taken out like Moose and shit. And you're up like,
That's because Mickey James is like, she's a really, really good, she's an underrated professional wrestler. She really is.
She really is. She made it look like Tasha Steelz is a threat.
Yes, exactly. You're right. Like when this match was over, I was like, you know what? Like, this is a good, very good setup for their match on Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
Why is Mickey James so underrated?
I think sometimes somebody's so good that like there's a such thing as being too good and then like people take it for granted.
Yeah. You know? That's true. Yeah.
Like she's, you know what? I feel like because she sells, like I remember when Alexa Bliss like hit her, she acted like Mike Tyson hit her. Remember Alexa Bliss was doing like the back out punch?
Yeah.
So they had her defeat Mickie James like that and Mickie James sold it like death. And I think then fans are like, well, she's a scrub because all the other women like get up or like stand or like, you know what I mean? Everyone else didn't sell it that long and she did. And it's like, that's how you're supposed to sell it. If we're going to say that Alexa Bliss's punch is like the kiss of death, you're supposed to sell it like you're dead.
Yeah. Because like whenever there's talk of like who's like name your top five like women.
No one ever names
Mickie James. Her name never comes up. And I'm at fault too. Her name never comes up. But when I'm watching her, I'm just like, she's really good. And she's super. We don't understand how good she really is. But
yeah. I think she'll have a good match with Tasha Steelz.
Yeah. And she's been a champ everywhere she goes too. You know, it's like, I don't know why her name is not in this conversation, but it should be. Anyway, yeah, they have a match on Saturday. Brian Myers in the final lesson of how to be the most professional wrestler. He's there with his stable of the Learning Tree, and he's mad because he was thrown on thumbtacks the week prior. And he's so mad, he decides to disband the Learning Tree, which I was like, thank God. Finally, they can let Zicky Dice just be Zicky Dice. The way how he got himself over on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and how he got himself over in
I hope, but let's see if they actually do.
Yeah, please. Why are you using this guy who's got so much talent and he get himself over and you're putting him in this fucking stable where he's just like a stooge? It just makes
no more Brian Myers. No more Brian Myers anywhere.
I hate to say this, but Brian Myers, if you're going to hire him, he should be like the stooge of a stable. Like he should be like a Sean Spears. He shouldn't be the guy in charge. And while someone like Zicky Dice, you could be like, dude, you have enough talent to get yourself over.
Impact has a big problem of like taking like a loser and just saying that they're like fucking awesome without it building to that. Yeah. What I mean by that is they just had Brian Myers. He just showed up in 2020 acting like he's always just been a winner. And it's like, this guy literally had a gimmick where he never won a match for like 3 years in WWE.
I think
and you have to like build the guy back up before he can. The same with Eric Young. Eric Young just had this stable.
Yeah. I think Impact suffers from like, they have a big issue with like, I think like the seniority kind of like, I don't know, like recognizable name, like, oh, he's been WWE, so automatically he's a big star. It's like, no, man, he was a fucking loser.
Or like Brian Myers. Brian Myers gonna build him back up.
Yeah, like, or they go like,
I mean, Brian Myers. There's no way he should have wrestled. They wasted a Christian match with him, dude.
He should be like in a Sean Spears role. Like, he's the guy in the stable who needs to eat the pinfall and shit like that, you know? Like, it should, like, this is so backwards. And you know what else is backwards? It's fucking last match. Match number six, Violent by Design versus Bullet Club. So, it's not a bad match, but, like, while I'm watching this match, there's a moment where Joe Doring, who's massive, faces off against, like, Tama Tonga, and they're just going back and forth. And people are into it, and they're just like, oh, yeah, two big men. And I'm like, why did they waste Joe Doring like this? Like, he Violent by Design, like when he first came in and he was wearing that fucking fur coat, he should change his name to Big Joe, come out with that fucking cowboy hat.
Can I tell you the problem with him?
What?
Because he's with these guys for long, he has the stench of failure.
Yes, that's exactly. I had to look this up. Do you know Violent by Design was formed on November 14th, 2020. It's been over a year since they've been a stable. They have, what have they accomplished? What have
just,
they accomplished?
Just killing TV time.
Yeah.
They killing TV get, time and ruining everyone's push.
They couldn't even get Rhino to be on their team. They failed even in that, if you think about it.
I can't believe, this is another, I can't believe they're wasting a Jay White match on Eric Young.
Oh my God, yeah.
I can't believe that this fucking guy has to wrestle. Like, why would you not let Jay White wrestle Moose or something?
Yeah. They need to disband Violent by Design, make Eric Young go back to classic Eric Young from TNA, right?
Or goofy Eric Young, yeah, that'd be cool.
A goofy Eric Young, or like, yeah, or like the guy who's like I'm all about Impact Wrestling. He needs to be like, you know, that Captain America type character.
I would have Joe Doring destroy him, and then he beats him so bad he thinks he's super Eric again.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. I would have Joe Doring turn on him. I would have him turn on him Saturday.
Yeah, I would just be like, Joe.
And what's his name? The other guy? What's the game? The Cody Deaner?
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
Get rid of him. Hit the brick. Yeah.
Hit the bricks, bro. That guy's been a loser for 13 years, and that shit ain't changing.
Yeah. Joe Doring would have been like, you're getting your name changed. You're going to wear the cowboy hat and fur coat everywhere you go, and you're going to squash people left and right. And I guarantee it's going to get over, you know? Yeah. It's going to get over.
And then have him beat Moose for the title, yes.
Yeah. Just like the visual of this giant, ugly, no offense, ugly guy.
He's not my relative. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying like it looks – just visual of that looks good. And like this fucking stable is done. And you know what else is done? This fucking Bullet Club is done too.
New Japan's got a cut. The Bullet Club is played out.
Oh, my God. So bad.
And, like, dude, being on – this is like if the NWO never broke up, right, and they were still together in, like, 2001, and they're showing up on, like, women of wrestling, or they're showing up on fucking NWA Wildside, and, like, Nash is like, yeah, Buff Bagwell's going to take on Eric Paris.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's so fucking bad.
Man, I hate to say this about – because he's not a bad talent, but ever since, like, Jay White kind of joined the Bullet Club, took charge of the Bullet Club, is when they started falling apart.
Like, can I say something? Jay White looks like he got his – somewhere Jay White lost his confidence. Between the beginning of 2021 and now, it's not the same guy. I don't know what happened to him last year, but – he's not the same. He's wrestling, not that his wrestling is deteriorated. I don't know what happened to take away his confidence, but I had a dude. If you remember, I was like praising this guy to the heavens after Wrestle Kingdom 20.
Do you remember me saying he wasn't that good?
Dude, he had like traces of Shawn Michaels in him that night. And I don't know. If I was WWE, I would hire him, but I would change a lot about him. I think you can still salvage this guy.
Oh, yeah. You can still
salvage him. But I just don't know. I don't think he's going to be like – this is the thing. It's the problem with New Day, and it's the problem with the Elite. And they got to know when to break up a stable. And sometimes it's wrong. Like Undisputed Era, that kind of like killed all those guys when they broke them up, right? But you got to know when to do it and know what to do with each member. And – they're just not good. Wrestling has never been good. Like NWO should have had like this horrific, like killing blow to end NWO and WCW. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling has never been good at ending a stable, but
you're right.
But you got to have a moment where the Bullet Club is just done and just move on. And then one day do another group. And the same thing with like, New Day and Violent by Design. You just gotta end it. Like I think New Day needs. I don't think we ever need to see New Day again. But you know, whatever.
No,
but Bullet Club needs to go
for life.
Bullet Club is done, and it looks stupid, and it's way past its prime. Move the fuck on.
You know who Jay White reminds me of?
Who?
Is actually Seth Rollins.
Yes, the worst version of Seth Rollins.
Yeah, like he. technically has reached the top. He wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom for the championship. He was a champion, right, of this promotion. But he's just somebody, like, in my personal opinion, I can't buy him as a top guy. And yes. But he's, like, a good challenger or something.
It's the same. Like, WWE constantly tells me Seth Rollins is a top guy, and he does have, like, great, like, I think he had the best match at WrestleMania last year. But he's just never going to be there. Like, even, like, this stupid, like, it just comes across as forced.
Yeah.
He should be, like, Arn Anderson to somebody else's Ric Flair. What I mean by that is, if Roman is Ric Flair, he should be the enforcer to Roman. Yeah.
Jay White and Seth Rollins, they're both very good wrestlers, and they've both had a lot of success. They just don't
have the personality to be the guy. Yeah,
they're never going to be, in my opinion, like the top. Like, I just can't buy them. I don't buy them as a top guy. So I don't think they could be great challengers, but that's about it. At the end of this match, we had the Good Brothers come out and just stand there like fucking idiots like they always are. So that made me – this show lost an entire star rating because of that for me. But overall, good show. I thought it was a decent build to their pay-per-view on Saturday. So, yeah, Impact, good stuff. Keep it up, I guess. Any final thoughts?
It was good. It was good. It wasn't great, but I am going to watch No Surrender on Saturday. And you will too, bro. Maybe. Watch Elimination Chamber and that show. So let's keep going with NXT UK. I haven't seen this in a while. Let me just say something. Mm-hmm. I feel like the audience and the wrestlers are trapped in this building and they don't know the pandemic is kind of like ending. I feel like this show still feels like it's in like 2020. Like,
so remember how when we talked about that, you asked me if there was audience and I said there was. I paid attention today. There is no audience. They said canned reactions. But here's the thing. They had audience until January 27th. So this is a couple of weeks ago. And in that episode, it was half audience and then half not audience. Like, the last match they had was an empty arena, right? Mm-hmm. So after that, every single episode now has been no audience. So it was that weird episode where they start the show with
Thunderdome thing back or no?
What?
Did they have the Thunderdome back, like the screens? I didn't notice it. There are no screens.
No, there's no screens. No, it's just like, they did this empty, it's like, it was such a weird episode. If you go back and watch it, like, it starts off with audience, mm-hmm. right? Like, because they've been having it. And then they just go, we're going to have this empty arena match to end the show. And then they have it. And then they just never brought
it back. It feels like they're isolated from the rest of the company.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And they're like, just hoping Vince doesn't pay attention to them. I feel like Triple H is like, I'm just never going to bring up NXT UK to Dad. Because I feel like the moment, like, Triple H goes like, hey, Dad, what if we brought in Jordan Devlin to, like, be a tag team with Finn Balor on Raw? Who the fuck is Jordan Devlin?
Yeah.
He's on NXT UK. That's still going? Hold on. Johnny, fire him up. Like, how all these guys keep their job? Like I was thinking about this. I would have sent Keith Lee and Karrion Kross to NXT UK for a while rather than fire them and fire like four or five guys in NXT UK. Like, how is this fucking thing still going? I have no idea.
This show it's not a bad show.
It's like it's like the most isolated. No one knows it's happening. Yeah. It's like in this alternate universe where Triple H never lost power. It's a very weird show.
When I watch the show, the thing that's always on my mind is always, who can we bring over? Because that's how I view the show. It's like a farm to bring over the best.
But I don't even think they're gonna bring anyone up to bring over because they don't want Vince to know this exists. I don't think Vince really knows. I think Vince thinks the show's like a best of or something.
Some of the best acts, like, they were.
I would bring over Pretty Deadly. I would put them on the main roster.
I think Sam Gradwell could work too.
Yeah.
You bring this guy over and you put him in fucking Sheamus's little stable, this guy's going to get over great with Sheamus's little hooligans.
So let's review the show real quick because really nothing's going on here.
Okay. Sam Gradwell versus Kenny Williams. Kenny Williams comes out, acts like he's hurt. Scala's in the trance saying he's not hurt. Fight. Sam he hits like a drop down cover for the victory afterwards. Williams attacks him with the crutch and then basically cuts off the little bit of hair that he has on his head and like pisses off Sam Gravel. I liked it. It's fine. It's not a good match. Okay. It sets it up. Yeah. Sam is now a good guy. He's a good guy now.
I didn't even know what he was before that. So good for him.
Deal. They show Gallus in the back and Wolfgang wants a match. Then we have a Zaya Brookside promo on a male. Now, I hate to say it. They got to get rid of her. She's not believable as a good guy. She's not believable as a bad guy. She sucks. Zaya Brookside sucks, dude.
Get her to the wayside.
Yeah, I get it. Her dad's like a trainer and a legend, but dude, she sucks. She sucks real bad. Dave Mastiff and Jack Starr, they're doing this thing where Jack Starr wants to be like Dave Mastiff. They're training and he's got like trying to make him eat funny and he's trying to do streaking. They've been doing these like cheesy like video things like with other people too, with that Saxton Huxley. It's kind of cheesy and it's low budget, but it's like, whatever.
At least they're trying to give these guys character, which I appreciate.
Yes, at least they're trying. You're right. And they're trying to do something.
Yeah.
It's cheesy, but they're doing something. Match number two, Angel Hayes versus Amelia McKenzie. Amelia McKenzie hits like a version of the glam slam for the victory. What did you think of these women?
I liked Amelia McKenzie. I liked her. This was my favorite match in the show.
I think
you can bring her over, by the way.
I think eventually, but not right now, 100%.
Yeah, no, I think she's definitely someone. I liked her look. She, you know what? She had a little bit of the Bennett winning, but she carried it well. She carried it well.
Yeah. See, that's what this show is. Whenever I watch a show, I always think about who would be good to bring over. That's all I think. That's all I think about. You know.
I think. I think Dewdrop has been doing really well. They just need to change her name back, and then she'll be good.
Think about all the female talent they brought over from the UK: Rhea Ripley, Dewdrop, right? Toni Storm kind of flopped, but she did great in NXT, and they have Kaylee Ray in NXT. They're always trying to bring over, like, I think the best, whenever somebody's really good on that show.
I'm still shocked Toni Storm flopped as hard as she did, but that's a whole,
that's not her fault, yeah, though. It wasn't her fault.
I know, yeah, but, like, yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Sam Shepard interviews Nathan Frazier. He wants a shot against Ilya Dragunov, who's a champion. When Frazier had a match with Walter, Walter's like last NXT UK match a couple of weeks ago, it was in front of fans and it was a really fucking good match. I liked it.
Did he beat Walter?
No, Walter beat him.
Oh wow, it's surprising.
I know. I was thinking like he was gonna like put over this guy before he leaves the brand, but Walter beat him. But it was still a good match. It was surprisingly good. And if this guy goes fights against Dragunov, I think it's gonna be fun too. So. Then we get La Familia video package. I want to like this stable, but it's just kind of stupid. They're doing this like mafioso thing where they're called La Familia, but like they're all from like different ethnic backgrounds. So it's kind of weird. Like one guy's Turkish, one guy's like, I don't know, Indian, and the other guy's like William Regal's son. So I'm like, how are these guys family again? Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, well, yeah, it wasn't that great.
Yeah. I want to like them, though. Like, I really want to like these guys, but, like, they're not giving me anything. Match number three, Myla Grace versus Stevie Turner, who I think actually has a good look. Stevie Turner. Because I don't know, what is that, synth pop look? That fucking, like, she's got that, though, like, that '80s Back to the Future kind of look. That girl? I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, Stevie Turner hits like a side effect finisher on Myla Grace for the victory. I think Stevie Turner could be somebody eventually who's gonna come over in the main roster.
Yeah, this was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard on this show to make any emotional connection to any of these people. Like, yeah, I feel like I've seen Gallus wrestle 97 times, and dude, if they could bring it to my house, I'd be like, "Where are you guys?"
I'm telling you what, Gallus was never coming to the main. They're never coming to NXT.
Just sounds like so like European indie. Gallus. Like,
Jack
just sounds like a fart. Gallus. I mean, it's made a Gallus.
Somebody in NXT UK really likes that stable.
Well, I just all I know is every time I lose my attention on this show, like Nigel McGuinness would still Gallus, and I'm like, they're just always talking about Gallus on this show.
Yeah, they love Gallus so much, yeah. And I'm like, why do they love this stable so much over there? It's just like they're
it's
like
hard. It's like that's it's hard. It's and then every time somebody like kind of catch like Piper Nevin, looking back to like when the pandemic, when they started having shows during the pandemic. She was like kind of like my favorite thing to watch. And they just, once you can make a connection to someone, they just take them off the show. So.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what the show is. They take people off. They got Mako next week. Mako Satomura is going to get a thank you ceremony. Supposedly the rumor is. So I think 2 weeks back, Mako had a match with Blair Davenport, and Blair was supposed to win the belt. And this is supposed to be like, a thank you and then send Mako back home, right? Like she's done with NXT UK. But during that match, Davenport broke her ankle. And so Mako's still a champion. So I wonder what they're gonna do. Like they're gonna do this thank you thing and she's gonna leave as a champion. Like I don't know.
Maybe Asuka comes out and beats her for the belt.
Yeah, maybe like during the ceremony, somebody comes out, challenges her real quick, beats her real quick, and then you send Mako away. I don't have no idea. We'll see what they do. By the way, you should watch that, though, dude. Her fucking screaming is horrific.
It's when on she the breaks show? Her ankle.
Yeah, it's on the show.
All right, I'll watch it someday.
It's like 2 weeks. You just skip to the part where she does.
I love that happened. Nobody even talked about
it. Yeah, like she.
I'd say this show is like, this show's happening like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. It's
like, really funny.
Yeah, it's almost like, remember when Ray Phoenix like fucked up his arm?
Yeah.
On TV, it's like that. It's like, but this one's like, it was like, oh my god, that looked fucking bad. We got Mustache Mountain versus Smith and Carter video package. These guys are gonna go after it. Match number 4: Jordan Devlin versus Wolfgang. Jordan Devlin's bleeding in the forehead. I guess he bladed somewhere. He hits the 450 for the victory. It was an okay match. Devlin's good, but Wolfgang is like fucking slow. So, you know, it was all right.
Yeah, I don't know about Jordan Devlin. I don't think he's ever going to really be anything.
No, he's not. Both these guys are never going to be. They have that baggage of being called out. So I don't think you could ever push them in the forefront.
Yeah, I think it's I would cut bait with Jordan Devlin. He just also just has this like, I know that's what they want. But he just has this look like he always is taking a shit. And he just has this look on his face like he's midway taking.
He has this look that he's always doing a Gallus.
Yeah, he's taking a Gallus. Gallus! Jordan Devlin taking a Gallus tonight on NXT. Dude, this is like the funny. I can't wait till Vince. I don't think Nick Khan knows this is a real show. I don't think Nick Khan knows about this because I feel like he would have been like, fire all these people. Like, why? What is going on here?
I bet you he thinks this is just like NXT that's airing on the UK.
Yes. Dude, I'm just thinking to myself watching this show, why would you fire Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, but not Gallus or Jordan Devlin? Like, how are they keep? I'm telling you, Nick Khan does not know this show exists. I think he does. And he's like, what's NXT UK? Oh, that's where they show NXT in the UK.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they have UK announcers. No, there's a whole other company in the UK.
One day he's going to be like, oh, and then NXT Japan and NXT Australia, and they're going to be like, what are you talking about? They're like, oh, you know, when it's aired on Japan, you call it NXT Japan. They're like, no.
No.
And he'll be like, then what's NXT UK? And
dude, they fire Carlos Cabrera, but they're keeping – dude, I bet you Triple H, like books this, like on his other phone. He, like, runs out of the office, like, oh, I'm just going to get lunch. All right, so have Gallus beat, like, Triple H is still secretly booking this show. He doesn't want Vince to know. Like, okay, so have Jordan Devlin beat the other guy. Yeah, like, it's just a really funny show. They'd probably stop having audience, so nobody would post spoilers, so Nick Khan wouldn't know it's still happening. Yeah.
It'd be really funny if you really thought this was just NXT.
I think that's what's going on, bro.
They're showing him, like, Mako Satomura, and then he'll be like, hey, when did they make Io Shirai champion again?
dude, fucking on Reddit, there's show threads on the Squared Circle Reddit. Like, and you know, you usually have, like, at least, like, 60 or 200, like, comments at the minimum. Dude, today, the NXT UK, guess how many comments it had?
Two?
Nine.
Wow,
nine comments on the NXT UK. Dude, nobody's watching this. And every time I told people, like, this show has great wrestling, nobody gave a shit.
Yeah. The thing is, it's not a bad show when you watch
it. No, it's I think people, years from now, people are going to go back and be like, wow, that was a really good show. And they're going to rediscover a lot of great matches, but it's just nothing has happened. People didn't even know who Doudrop was when she walked out with Eva Marie last year. Mm-hmm. People are like, who is this? And it's like, she's been in the company now for like two fucking years before this.
It's just, you're right. There's like a nothing happens on this show. It's a nothing happening.
But because they can't build to a takeover.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, and I mean, right before the pandemic, they had Finn Balor there, they had Cassius Ohno. Like, they had
things. Error showed up, remember, and attacked them at the end of a takeover one.
Yeah, like, they were, like, doing things. And then after the pandemic, they, like, and I get, like, all right, we're going to be slow to go with this show because the travel restrictions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm telling you, somebody doesn't want the Inner Circle to really scrutinize this show. Because I think they're afraid everyone's going to get fired. And honestly, I would make a case that you should kind of pare down the show.
Pare down? You mean fire some people?
Yeah. Like, what is going to happen with half these fucking guys? Are they really going to go to the main roster? Like,
yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
you haven't got – if you book a major arena in England right now and you try to book a takeover, is anyone going to show – like, who's – what are people going to be excited about? Dragunov versus Tyler Bate? No one's going to give a shit.
You lost one of their biggest draws already, Walter.
Walter, Pete Dunne. You made Tyler Bate to a fucking loser. Like, you know what I mean?
Tyler Bate's like a nobody now. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So it's like, even if you did try, even if you're like, all right, we're going to have an NXT UK takeover WrestleMania week that's going to kick it off Monday afternoon or some shit. Who's going to show up?
Yeah. All their top women that they built up, they all moved on.
Yeah.
There is, like, I don't need, like, Mako was like, she's on loan. She's not there permanent. Like, she's not supposed to be there permanently.
I feel like that's a waste of this woman. I would like to have seen her on NXT, or even, like, even if you just have her show up on SmackDown one week and lose to Charlotte, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a waste of having this great talent on loan. I don't know.
You know, you're right. Like, 20 years from now, people are going to want, like, it'd be like, they had Mako Satomura as their women's champion having matches like every week. Dude, this was such a good show. And I'm going to be like, yeah, but man, like, nobody was watching the show. It's nothing happens on this fucking show.
Nothing happens. I don't think they promote it on NXT anymore, bro.
Yeah.
Nothing they didn't have like commercials like this. We got NXT UK. Fucking Gallus takes a Gallus on. Dude, so, yeah, speaking – like, they're also barely promoting the new episode of NXT Power Up or Level Up or whatever, but that's another conversation.
Oh, Level Up Friday. Yeah, that's going to be an hour.
We're not going to do a podcast tomorrow. I'll tell you why when we log off. We're not here tomorrow, but we will be here Saturday with Elimination Chamber and fucking Impact No Surrender. By the way, fucking AEW's ratings pretty bad.
Oh, my God, it tanked. It went from over a million to like 800,000.
What do you think the problem is? I don't think it's Cody that made that. You know what? I'm thinking. You need to give CM Punk a feud with someone from WWE.
Well, like Mox?
I would say Jericho.
Yeah, actually, that would be good. And then let him go. Let him tell. Let him like. You know they're gonna cut like
I just think you need to have these guys fight with real draws for a while, because I don't understand how the ratings tanked last night, but what Tony Khan's doing isn't working. This week was a step in the right direction, but it
could be because of Cody.
You think people were like, I don't want to watch the show anymore. Cody's gone.
I think I don't think that's far fetched.
I watched the show because it was no film.
Yeah.
So what do I know?
Someone was like, no, they did Brandi Rhodes
dirty. I think they waited too long to give CM Punk a good feud. Like, it shouldn't have taken them fucking 5 months to get CM Punk. He should have had this feud night one. Night one should have been him and MJF.
I mean, it could also be like maybe like CM Punk doesn't want to like work with people like Jericho.
I think he needs to at this point.
Yeah. I think.
Also, Man, I think you got to de-emphasize the Undisputed Era. Dude, they're pushing all the guys on from NXT that were not getting ratings on NXT. Nobody's watching Keith Lee, Adam Cole, and now they're your top stars.
I have a feeling that this, I don't know, but there's a chance that signing CM Punk could end up being like one of the worst things they ever do.
No, I don't think it is. I just think they had CM Punk do nothing for so long that people were like, this guy's just here, it's great to be here. Nobody gives a fuck. Dude, for months, he was like, ha-ha, I love being here. Like, he should have came in pissed. Like, fuck Kenny Omega. I want the fucking belt. Fuck this.
No, but that's what I mean. I think this was maybe one of the – it might end up being it's one just Tony Khan's because, yeah, because I think when they signed him, it was like – he was like, I'm going to – like, I'll only go to your company, but I get to work with whoever I want to work with, and I get like – I want to get a lot of say in what I want when I do, right? Instead of being told you got to do this and you got to portray this character. Dude, that's what.
And I think that's first TV match. Why would you do his first TV match on the Friday show? I thought that was the first mistake against Powerhouse fucking Hobbs. I mean, no offense to Powerhouse Hobbs, and it was a good match live. But this is his first free match in how many years? And it's like on a Friday. Like, you should have had it been on Dynamite, the main event. He should have walked out and, like, you could have the Darby Allin match. That's fine. But then he should have went right to Kenny Omega after that. He should have just went right to Kenny Omega. And it just kind of feels like he's not going to go for the belt because Hangman Page has the belt. And I don't know, bro. Like, I don't think Hangman Page is a draw. I don't think anyone gives a shit about him. This is why WCW right away gave Hogan the belt, because you get someone that big, you have to get them. Hogan and CM Punk both are guys that transcend. And I've said this before, but like, this proved Eric Bischoff correct. CM Punk should have been in a serious storyline where he was pissed about something right away. It was great that he had that little promo where he's like, I'm back. But then he should have immediately went against something. And he just was too happy for too long. No one gives a shit anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and this is why I feel like the CM Punk signing might end up really.
Oh, okay, explain it.
Because number one, he's I hate to say it like this, but he's not really drawing anything. The numbers aren't really. It hasn't really changed. No, you know. And number two, he was signed with such a high price tag. You're gonna end up seeing more situations like what happened with Cody. It's gonna happen now. It's gonna keep happening, and it's gonna cause. I feel like it's gonna cause more problems than there is, and it's gonna be for a couple of reasons like that. The price tag and the fact that now you have to justify what you're paying for, and it's not being justified because he's not drawing any ratings. And I feel like he's gonna be someone like, I only want to work with certain people. And I don't want to work with some other people. I feel like that he probably gets a lot of say in that. And I think that's probably going to cause problems too. You know?
Two things I would do with him. ASAP. Give him the belt. I don't give a fuck if he says he doesn't want it. He needs to have the belt. If he's the top paid guy and he's your top guy, everyone wanted to come back, give him the fucking belt. Don't do this thing where he's like in his own little universe. Like they did this with Cody. And it doesn't work. If a guy is your guy, then he should have the belt. Because the problem with the Cody shit is everyone saw Cody as the guy, but he didn't have the belt. And he lost the thing where he couldn't go for the belt. I would give CM Punk the belt right away. Get it the fuck off Hangman Page. I wouldn't even do a build. I would give him the fucking belt. And I said two things. What the fuck was the other thing?
By the way, I agree with you on that. I think he needs to... Okay. After Revolution, you know, the MJF thing, he beats MJF, right? The following Wednesday, if Hangman Page is about to cut a promo, Punk's music hits, comes out, I'm done with that. Now I'm looking for this. And boom.
And let's do it tonight. And he gets the belt that night. And then make him the champ. And then every story, he has something invested. So now when CM Punk is fighting people like fucking Bobby Fish or Brian Pillman Jr., it's for the fucking belt. So now there's a reason for him to beat the shit out of these people, and he's the center of the fucking show. If he's the highest paid guy, if he's the most important guy on the show, give him the fucking belt. It's Hangman Page, and then when Hangman Page beats him or whoever beats him, that's going to do them better. That's going to make them look better. But give him the belt, have him fight Kenny Omega when he comes back, have him fight Jon Moxley, have him fight Jericho. Stop. This is a waste of time. This is a, you're wasting valuable time with this guy.
Yeah. No, I agree. You need to, if he is the highest paid guy, you have to make him do the most amount of work. He has to.
Yeah. Or, and then the other thing, it doesn't give you an incentive to watch, because you're like, I think this is another thing. They have to stop advertising every single thing they're going to do, because it doesn't give you an incentive to turn, because now you're conditioned. If I think everything they do is going to stink, then there's no reason for me to watch, because they never throw a surprise. They never announce ahead of time, like, oh, they never go like, oh, fucking Daniel Bryan's going to fight this loser, Lee Moriarty. And then when you tune in, be like, oh, Lee Moriarty's not even here. It's going to be Daniel Bryan versus fucking Adam Cole. Oh, shit. You know what I mean? They never do anything like that. And you need to do something, because now if I'm a viewer and I'm like, I don't care about Lee Moriarty, I know CM Punk's not going to wrestle. He's just going to like cut a promo on MJF. I don't give a shit about Darby and this other guy. I'm just not going to watch. It gives you an incentive not to watch, because you already know what every segment's going to be. They got to stop doing that. You can announce two or three matches ahead of time, and that's it.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe announce like half the fucking show. Yeah. Just half the show, you know?
And that way it gives you people incentive. I have to tune in. Because now, a couple of times I tuned in, be like, maybe they'll throw a surprise. They never throw in a surprise. Last week was the first time they had an unannounced match. They need to start doing that every week. Because Eric Bischoff, I know you don't like him, but he said it's a major mistake that they announce everything ahead of time. You don't do that.
Maybe you could say something like,
you announce the main event.
Yeah, or you could even say CM Punk will be in action. Like, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. You know? Just so that people know he's going to be wrestling, you know? Yeah,
but like, and you can announce like major matches, like in 3 weeks, Kenny Omega is going to fight Daniel Bryan again in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like that's something you can do.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, man, just announcing the entire show and not having a surprise just doesn't cut it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They should announce.
And also, like, I do think people got let down by that surprise, by the way.
Last week?
Yeah, that's why I think people tuned out.
Wasn't last week a good show, though?
Yeah, but I think people were like, the fat guy that like was on Raw for 6 months, like, and they just,
oh, Keith Lee, yeah.
Dude. Nobody was when Keith Lee was on top of NXT. Nobody's watching. That's the thing. They have Adam Cole on top now. Nobody was watching NXT when Adam Cole was on top. Why? Now all of a sudden we're supposed to care? Like, nobody cared. People chose to watch Cody Rhodes over Adam Cole. Now you got rid of Cody Rhodes for Adam Cole. How the fuck does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Very well.
Well, Cody's on to bigger and better things, man.
Listen, he's dashing now.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
All right, guys. We'll see you Saturday.
They're giving Brandi Rhodes Shane McMahon's theme.
Here comes the money. What if she wins the Best in the World Cup in Saudi Arabia? Maybe she'll win Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, Alexa Bliss? I'm a black bitch.
For Saudi Arabia.
We need.
And they're gonna imprison her in Saudi Arabia. They're gonna outlaw women when she shows up.
I'm bringing this thing. It's called it sleeves, and it's for women. Women's fans
sleeves. Dude, are they still gonna? I wonder. Like, first of all, I wonder if any. Also, that heels thing is kind of stupid. Do you think any woman is in heels? And if so, who's gonna run it now?
I bet you know who's gonna run out. I bet you if they
Amanda keep it, Hubbard.
Yeah.
She's Uber, probably, whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah, she's gonna probably run it. Yeah. Most likely.
Okay. All right, so we'll see you Sunday, bros. Peace.